Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 16 lines from the bottom. As we mentioned at the end of our previous shiur, we're in the middle of a long discussion that started at the beginning of our perek and continues till Gimel Amud Beis. So, without any further ado, let us continue at the point that we left off. We're assuming that you are not a first-time listener, but rather are familiar with what we learned in our previous shiur. So, as we know, we're searching for the example that Rav Papa mentioned, that in Toldos Nezikin there are those that are lo kayotzi behem, that are not like the Ovois. So this brings us to number 3. V'chi ka'omar Rav Papa, Rav Papa's comment of lav kayotze bohen, al tolda de regel, is a reference to the tolda of the nezik of regel. Regel was one of the three avos that were associated with shor. So within regel, the damage associated with an animal trampling, we may find Rav Papa's point. So tolda de regel maihi, what is the tolda of regel? Answer, hezeka begufa, hizika begufa, derech ilucha, besara derech ilucha, beshlif shaleha, befrumbia shebefiha, bezug shebetzavora. The animal did damage as in the course of its walking along. It damaged begufa, derech ilucha, that's with its body. Instead of trampling underfoot, it damaged something by shoving into it with its body as it was walking. Or besara would be the body hairs of the animal caught onto something and dragged it along and ruined it as it was walking along. B'shlif sholeh, with a load on its back. So as it was walking along, it was carrying a load and it did damage while the animal was walking along, befrumbia shebefia, with the bit in its mouth, bezug shebetzavora, with the bell around its neck. My shna regel dehezekoi matsui, umamoincha ushmirosoi alecha. What is different about the basic av, the basic prototype of regel, which can be described as hezekoi matsui, commonly found damage, commonly occurring damage, and the animal is your possession, mamoncha ushmiros elech, and it's your obligation to supervise and guard it and watch it. Hani nami, the above toldos have all those same characteristics. Hezekon motsui umamoncha ushmirosoin alecha. So this would not be an example of a tolda that's not like the av. Ela tolda de regel karegel. V'chikoma Rav Papa atolda de bor. So we continue in our search. It must be then that Rav Papa said his point that there are toldos that are not kayotze bohen in the case of the tolda of bor. Bor being the pit. Tolda de bor mayi. What is the tolda of bor? So here we have a triangle marking, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, the triangle represents Shlavim, stages, Bechipus Tolda de Bor, to discover what would be Tolda of Bor. So we try number 1, Ilema Av equals Yud, Yud is 10, the Tolda equals Tes is Tisha. Maybe a Bor of 10 Tvachim in depth is called the Av. A bor of 9 tfochim, tfochim are hand breaths, 9 tfochim in depth, it would be called, a bore of 9 tfochim would be called the tolda. And we've been saying along the way that toldos, and in contrast with ovos, ovos are those that are recorded in the scripture. There is a pasuk for it. Well, if you're going to say the Av is a 10 tefach deep pit, and the tolda would be a 9 tefach deep pit, lo tisha ksivi, velo asara ksivi, neither one are written in the scriptures. The Gemara says, ha lo kashya. If your claim is that it's not written, that is not a difficulty. The pasuk says, in the case of bor, it says, v'hames yelo, omar rachmona. The corpse, the animal corpse, will be yours, says the Torah. V'kim luhu l'rabbonan, and the rabbonan know, they have a tradition that they know with certainty. Asora avdon misa, tisha nezikin avdi, misa lo avdi. A bor of 10 is sufficient depth to kill an animal, and a bore of 9 is capable of rendering damage, of causing damage, but not death. So, as far as the, we'll say, what you thought would be the absence of a scriptural reference, that's not really so. You have a pasuk from which we can derive these two shiurim. Sof, but at the end of the day, ze av lemisa ve ze av lenezikin. The 10 tefach deep or would be an av, a main prototype of form of bor regarding death. And the 9 tefach deep bor would be the av for nezikin, for damage. So we don't have an example of a tolda. Ela, where will we find a tolda of bor? Ah, avno, sakino maso, shenichon, bushus harabim veziku. A person left a stone, a knife, or a package, a burden, in the public thoroughfare, and people stumbled over them, or animals stumbled over them, and that resulted in their being damaged. Rashi says, Bishus Harabim, on the first line under the Gemara text, V'nitkilu b'han b'nei adam, and people tripped over them, v'ziku lahem, and caused them damage. So now the Gemara, having found what it thinks is a tolda, because a primary form of bor is a dug out pit. These are stumbling blocks, so to speak, but they're not a pit. So maybe this would be a tolda. The bor being something written beferush in the Torah, and the stumbling blocks being derivatives of the primary bor, primary the av form of bor. Well, hechidomi. What are the circumstances behind these articles that a person left in the public thoroughfare? E da'afgirinu, if the owner declared them unowned, bein l'rav, bein l'shmuel, hainu bor. Then whether you hold like Rav or Shmuel, the reference here to these names is really based on a Gemara later in the Masechta. If you're talking about something that was declared unknown, so then whether you hold like Rav or Shmuel, both agree that that would be a bor. And Rashi says on this, Hainu bor, the Travayu Amru, both Rav and Shmuel say, Kol takola shehifkir, any stumbling agent that one declared unowned, Nafkolon mi bor, the chayav is derived from the prototype bor as leading to obligation of compensation. He, Tavi Hefker, just like a boar that's dug out in a public thoroughfare, which is not, which by definition is not owned by anybody, can really come apart extortion agasapora. Shall iski kriosa krio psicha bolo, af kolta koloshiv kira chayav. Similarly, anything that would result in someone stumbling and hurting themselves results in an obligation to compensate. So, the case of Avno Sakino Masol would seem to be exactly like a boar. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. The E, Delo Afkirinu, and if the Avno Sakino Masol were not declared unowned, well, here you have a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, E l'Shmuel, D'yomar Kula Miboro Lomatnu, if you hold like Shmuel, that said all stumbling blocks, whether declared unowned or not, are derived from boar, Hainu boar, then they would have the same characteristics as a boar. V'i do'i l'rav, d'omar kula mishoro l'madnu, and if you adopt Rav's approach that said any stumbling block that's not declared unowned, that is derived from shor. Just like shor is your money, your mamonite, is your possession. And if it causes damage, you, the owner, are chayev, to you are obligated to compensate. So to anything that is your possession that causes damage, you have to compensate for that. So the case of Avno Sakino Maso left in the public thoroughfare and not hufkar, not declared unowned, according to Rav, would be Hainu Shor. It's the same thing as a shor. And it wouldn't even be a told of boar, wouldn't even be a derivative of a pit. Now, according to Shmuel, my shno bor shekain tchilas asiyosu lenezek umamoyncho shmuel solecha. The bor is something that, when it's initially made, it is destined to cause damage, and it is your possession, and is something that you have to guard over. So, hani nami. These two, the Avno Sakino Masol, Tchilas Asiyos LeNezek, and here we have to be careful and not translate. Tchilas Asiyos means the initial placing of them in a public thoroughfare is reason to expect damage. So your initial placing them there is for damage purposes. And it's your possession, and you are obligated to supervise, to watch over it, that it doesn't cause damage. So these cannot be an example of a tolda of bor that is not like the av. Ela tolda de bor kibor. So the tolda of bor, these derivatives, the Avno Sakino Masol, Shenichu B'Shus HaRabim, which are derivatives of bor, kibor, are just like the bor. V'chikomer Rav Papa Atolda de Mave. And Rav Papa's comment, his Bay's comment that we saw in our previous shiur, that there are toldos that are low, the Lav Kayotzimim, that are not similar to the Av, must have been said regarding Mave. Well, mave is an expression, is a word that we saw in the Mishnah. When we read the Mishnah, we did not commit ourselves to any translation of that. And we said, because it itself is a machlokes, a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. So, my nihu, what is the told of mave? And in order to establish what the told of mave is, we have to mention what is mave itself. So the Gemara continues. E l'Shmuel domar mave zu shein. If you're going to follow Shmuel's approach, that mave is shein, is the damage caused by the animal's teeth through eating, Well, ha ukimna, we already established on Omid Aleph, we discussed this in our previous shiur, told the Deshain Kishain that the derivative of Shain is just like Shain. E l'rav diomer mave ze odom. And if you're going to follow Rav's approach in explaining mave as being man who damages, my ovos umay todos is bay. What are the ovos and todos regarding man? We employ the triangle marking once again to indicate stages in trying to figure out what are the todos of Odom Hamazik, concerning which Rav Popa may have said his point of Lav Kayotzi Bohen. So, V'chitemo, Av equals Neir, Toda equals Yoshein, that Odom Hamazik is in the Av form, the primary form, is damaging when awake. And the Toda, the derivative form of Odom Hamazik, of man damaging, is damage that he wreaks while he is asleep. Well, v'hotanan, but we've learned the following, which would refute that. Odom muad le'oilom, bein erir, bein yoshein. A person is prone to cause damage. Muad means prone. He is likely, he is expected. Like we use the term shor, hamuad is a shor that's gored, an ox that's gored three times has demonstrated that it is a goring type animal. Odom, a person is prone to causing damage. And that applies whether awake ear or whether yoshen asleep. So you see that the two are equated, and hence we wouldn't be able to categorize sleeping as being a derivative of damage caused while awake. Elo akichoi v'nioi. Rather, the tolda of Odom Hamazik would be kicho, his roke, saliva, and neo, phlegm. Hechidomi, what are the circumstances of saliva and phlegm that you're alluding to as being the tolda of Odom Hamazik? E bahadi de azli komazki, if they cause damage while in flight, a person expectorated and caused this liquid to fly, and in its flight it caused damage. Well, koichoi have, that's considered man's strength, but it means, or force. It's a force emitted by the man himself, which makes it Odom Hamazik. It's not a derivative of Odom, a derivative of man. It is man himself. E bosor denayech, if after these liquids landed and someone slipped on them, well, bang the Rav, bang the Shmuel, hainu bor, whether you hold like Rav or Shmuel that had their disagreement that we alluded to earlier regarding an article owned by a person, in this case, whether you hold like Rav or Shmuel, after it landed, it certainly would have the characteristic of a bor. So it's not related any more to Odom Hamazik. Elo tolda de mave kemave. The derivative of mave, whatever it is, whether it's Shein, which we already discussed on Omid Aleph, or it's Odom Hamazik, the derivative of that is going to be like mave. V'chi ko'omar Rav Popa atoldo de'esh. And Rav Popa's comment that there are toldos that are not like the avos must be a reference to the tolda of esh. Esh being damage caused by fire. And in keeping with the structure of the Gemara up till now, toldo de'esh, my nihu. What is the tolda of esh? I lemo avno sakino umaso shenichon beroish gago v'naflu beruach mitzuyah v'ziko. If you claim that it's a case of a stone, a knife, or a package that a person left at the edge of his roof, and in the course of a ruach metzia, a normal wind, they fell off and caused damage. Well, hey chidomi, what are the circumstances behind that? I bahadi de ozlu komazgi hainu esh. If while in flight they cause damage, that's the same as fire. And as we explained at great length in our previous shiur, these ovos nezikin are presented by using common words like shor and eish and shein and regel, but they're not to be translated per se. That doesn't capture what they are. And here is another example of that. Referring to these articles when causing damage while in flight, well, that's the same as eish. My shno eish dekoyach achim ruv bahen, or murav ba. What's unique about fire is that its ability to cause damage is because there's an additional force that's involved, the wind causing the fire to go from one place to another and thereby cause damage. And it's your fire, hence it's your possession, and it's your obligation to watch it. Hani nami, these two, the avno sakino maso that you left at the edge of your roof, the wind is what's is the additional force that's causing them to wreak damage. Umamoncha ushmiroso alecha. So we don't find any difference in the tolda, in the characteristics of the tolda of Eish from the prototype form of Eish. Ela tolda the Eish ke Eish. The derivative of Eish is just like Eish. V'chikoma Rav Papa a tolda de regel. And Rav Papa's comment must have been a reference to tolda, the derivative of regel. Yeah, but one second, regel ha'ukimno tolda de regel karegel. But on Amud Aleph, we already established that the derivative of regel is just like regel. The Gemara answers, bechatzi nezek tsros, tehichus gemiri la. Within regel, there's a new tolda that we didn't make mention of earlier. And that is the damage caused by pebbles that are flung forward and damage while the animal is walking along. An animal causes things to fly out from under its feet. Those are tsuros, literally pebbles. And the halilchisa means there's an oral tradition that is the reason for us categorizing the case of tsuros as a tolda of regel. And the oral tradition tells us that the payment made for damage done by tsuros is half the value of the damage caused. Hence it's called chatzi nezek. Chatzi meaning half. Half nezek, half damages, half of the value that results, half of the value of the damage is what one pays in when the damage is caused by tsuros. Rashi across from here says, "Bechatzi nezek tsuros shehoisa maleches." The animal was walking along, v'tizet tsuros bragleah, and caused stones or pebbles to spurt out from under its feet. The shibuos a kalim and caused and broke vessels. The oral transmission from Sinai taught to Moshe Rabbeinu is that this is a damage categorized as mamon. It's an obligation. The obligation to compensate is a mamon obligation. It's a straightforward financial obligation as opposed to a knas, a fine. V'afagav the palgan nezek shel negicha v'knas, even though chatzi nezek, the half damage requirement in the case of a goring, is categorized as knas. Can I read come on, hi palgan iska? Hi palgan iska mamona hu. This half payment, in the case of Tsuros, is a momon payment. Vilkoch lav told it to Karen Hu, and since it falls under the category of momon, a financial obligation, as opposed to a fine, it falls under the regel category. That therefore, it's not a derivative of Karen. Elo de regel de mikoyach regel hu de osu ukeregel lohave de regel mishan nezik sholem. And on the other hand, it's not exactly like regel, because a standard regel damage is nezek sholem, means you are obligated to pay full damages. This regel derivative, tsuros, pays only half damages. Rashi threw in quite a few concepts that if you're new to the study of Seder Nezikin, you might find some of these ideas new to you. And in the course of learning more Gemaras, they'll become more familiar. So if, as we said, if you found it to be new territory, take heart in knowing that as you go along, you'll become much more familiar with these concepts of knas versus momon, and what practical difference is there between these categories. But for our purposes, having discovered chatzi nezek tsuros, we have found the basis for Rav Popa's comment that there are examples of todos that are lav kayotze behen. Now, let's continue in the Gemara. Having mentioned that the tsuros damage rate of payment is half damage, we ask v'amai kori lo toldo de regel. Why is it called toldo of regel? Tosfos says amai kori lo toldo de regel afal gav de domi le regel. Even though it's similar to regel in that it's a damage caused while the animal is walking along, kevon shedino choluk, since its result, namely the half damage requirement, is so different, hoyelo likros lo shem b'fnei atzma, it should have been called something on its own, a new category. So the Gemara is justified in asking, why do you bother calling it a derivative of regel and not have a it simply in a categorized as a new category? The Gemara answers, l'shalem min ho'aliyah. It is like regel in that it will pay. Min ho'aliyah. What does that mean, pay min ho'aliyah? So let's look at Rashi. L'shai min ho'aliyah, she'im izeka yosri ma shi shava. Let's say you have an animal that's worth $100, and it caused damage to the tune of $400. What's the half value of $400? $200. How much is the animal itself worth in our example? $100. Calling chatzi nezek tsuros a toldo of regel tells us that the owner is going to have to pay the complete $200. If you want us to sound confusing, we'll tell you he has to pay the full half damage of $200. This, by the way, is in stark contrast to the half damage rate of payment in the case of a shor tam, the docile shor that causes damage. Prior to a damaging three times, we say it pays chatzi nezek, but that chatzi nezek, if it exceeds the value of the animal itself, the owner is exempt from paying it. That's why here we made reference to the confusing sounding remark. Here he's going to have to pay the full half damage value. And Rashi goes on alluding to this point. So reading the Rashi again from the beginning, L'shalei minu aliyah, shim hezeka yoysi mimashi shofa, m'shalei mahezek mibeso. If the value of the chatzi nezek caused by the tzuros is more than the value of the animal, the additional amount he'll have to pay mibeso out of pocket. Mibeso literally means from his house, but means out of pocket. Ki regel, just like a damage done by regel itself. Just like if the animal trampled and damaged something while walking along, dichtiv bo beregel. Regarding regel, the Torah uses the term metav sodeu, from the best of your fields, which means you have to pay the full amount of the damages. In the case of tzuros, you have to pay half the value of the damages, but you'll have to pay that entire amount, even if it exceeds the value of the animal itself. The lo havyo ki keren, and it's not like the case of damage caused by goring, the ein hamazik mishalei elam migufo. In the case of goring, the owner pays only up to the goof, the value of the body of the animal itself. K'dichtiv, u'mochru es ha'shor ha'chai v'chotzu es kaspo. The Torah speaks about the goring animal being sold, and then you divide its money. V'mhezik yoyser al-kidei domov, mafsid ha'nizik. And if the value of the damage caused by a shor tam, if the value of the damage exceeds the value of the animal itself, then the victim loses out. We continue in the Gemara. It was just said that Chatzi Nezek Tzuros is called Toldei Regel because it pays Minu Aliyah. You'll have to pay the full value of that half damage. The Gemara asks, is that so clear? The Ha Mibaya Boi Rava. This was in fact a question that Rava raised. The boy Rava Chatzi Nezek Tzuros, the half payment rate that you find by Tzuros, Migufo Mishalem O Minu Aliyah Mishalem, does it pay? Is it paid out of the value of the animal itself, or is it paid out of pocket? So how can our Gemara say that Chatzi Nezek Tzuros is the halah, is the Tolda of Regel that Rav Papa was alluding to, and that it's called Tolda of Regel because it definitely pays Min Aliyah? Here you see that Rava wasn't sure of that. So the Gemara says, L'Rava Mebayalei L'Rav Papa Pshitalei. Yes, Rava had a question. He was not sure, but Rav Papa, who's the subject of our discussion, he's the focus of our discussion, for as far as he is concerned, Pshitalei, it was clear, it was obvious, it was simple to Rav Papa that Chatzi Nezek Tzuros pays Min Aliyah. Well, L'Rava de Mebayale, according to Rava, that the matter of paying Min Aliyah was not so clear. Amai Kori Law told her the Regel. Why would we refer to Tzuros as a derivative of Regel? What connection does it have to the realm of Regel? Answer, L'Foytra B'Rishus Rabim, to exempt the owner if damage is caused in a public thoroughfare. The damage of regel itself applies only if the animal went into someone's private domain and caused damage there. Likewise, with regard to tzuros, and not obligated if the damage results in a public thoroughfare, just like regel, which is not culpable in a public thoroughfare. The Gemara now goes on alluding and explaining the words of the Mishnah, Hamave Vahever. On the side, we have a nosei / mivne heading, a topic heading combined with a structural note, and a diamond appears. This highlights a machlokis Rav Shmuel bepirush hamila mave. According to Rav, it's Odom Hamazik. According to Shmuel, it's Shane. Of course, we saw this alluded to earlier, and here you see it at its source. we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text, simply there to remind you of where we saw this earlier on the daf. So the Gemara asks, "My mave? What is mave? Rav Omar mave is a odom. It is a reference to man as an av hanezek, a chief form of damage. Ushmuel Omar mave ze hashen." And Shmuel says, "Mave of the Mishnah is a reference to shame, the damage an animal does while eating." Rav Omar mave ze odom kidichtiv. Omar Shoimer Osaboyker Vigam Laila im Tabayun Bayu. Maybe before we go on in the more, just a little word of introduction. The Gemara attempts to provide a basis for Rav and Shmuel, respectively, by citing verses. The Gemara will ask, well, why did Rav not say like Shmuel? Why did Shmuel not say like Rav? Each one presents, we'll say, reasonable objections to the other one's approach. At the end of that give and take, the Gemara is going to say, well, the psukim aren't definitively like one or the other. So what then is the reason for Rav and Shmuel respectively claiming what they do regarding the definition of Maveh? Just to repeat ourselves, the psukim are not going to be convincing to either position. So that leaves us with the original question. Rav, who says Maveh is Odom, where does he get that from? Shmuel, who says Maveh is Shein, where does he get that from? So just going back to the Gemara text, we read the Pasuk to that would supposedly serve as the basis of Rav. Rav said that Maveh is Odom, and where do you see that? Well, in this Pasuk from Yeshaya, it said, Omar Shomer, Shomer literally is a guard. It's a reference to the Almighty. He said, Osa Boiker Vegam Laila, Boker, the morning came, which is a reference to the redemption for the righteous. Vegam Laila, which is a reference to night, which is darkness for the wicked. Im Tebayun Bayu, if you seek out, Baya is to request. If you desire or request to repent, then do so. Seek out atonement and forgiveness, and that will lead to salvation. For our purposes, the literal translation is not of central importance. What we want to note here is that it's the terms bayun is into bayun bayu is a reference to a person seeking atonement. What's the connection to our Gemara? The word maveh. Notice the word maveh has the same root form as the word tebayun ba'ayu. Hence, if this pasuk is in fact a source, you can see that it's a reference to a person. Hence, maveh is odom hamasik. Ushmuel omar maveh ze hashein. According to Shmuel, maveh is damage done by the shein, by the animal, is the animal's teeth while it eats. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Eich nechpesu esov nivu matzpunov. The Gemara, having cited this pasuk, and yes, you do see the word nivru, which is going to be the key word for Shmuel, but where do you see any reference to teeth over here? My mashma. How does the pasuk serve as a basis for Shein? Kidim etagim Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef explains in the Aramaic rendering of the pasuk, he says, Echdein isbalish esov isgalin matmuroihi. Now, we dashed on isgalin. This will be important for us. As far as translation is concerned, the original pasuk said, "Eich nechbasu Esav nivu matzvunav." Rav Yosef says the rendering of that pasuk in Aramaic is, "Eich deinisbalish Esav is galin mit matmurui." How was Esav ransacked? How were his hidden treasures exposed? As we've mentioned many, many times, literal translations don't serve too much purpose in discovering what the reason behind the Gemara's citations are. So we look in Rashi on the first line under the Gemara text is Igalion Targumo Shel Nivu. The word Igalion, which we just mentioned, was expose, to reveal. That's the targum of the word nivu. That's the Aramaic rendering of nivu. Alma nivu. So we see from here that nivu lashon gilui. It's an expression of exposure, visibility. Hilkoch omar maveza shein. That led Shmuel to say mave. The word that appeared in the Mishnah is a reference to shein. The mave lashon megulahu. Mave is an expression of exposure. Dahainu shein. Exposure is associated with the tooth. Shepa'ame megula pa'ame mechuse. As an animal eats, the teeth are visible at times, and sometimes they're covered. So the fact that teeth have this element of visibility at times, and at times not, that leads Shmuel to say, Mave ze Hashem. Now, the Gemara goes back and forth. You see we're using a squiggle underline to give you the feel of the change in speakers. The Rav, my time alomar k'Shmuel. Rav, why does he not say like Shmuel? Rav said that Mave is Adam. Why doesn't he go along with Shmuel's approach? And we just saw the pasuk Shmuel cited. Omar loch. Rav says, Mi kotoni niv'e. Now, in order to appreciate this, we must look in Rashi. Niv'e, on the second line under the Gemara text, mashma, hu atzmoi niv'e, nigle. Does the Mishnah say niv'e in reference to this av hanezek? Shmuel's pasuk used the word nivru matzpunov. Nivru became revealed. The Mishnah doesn't use that word. It doesn't say niv'e. The Mishnah uses the word mav'e. Mav'e kotoni, as Rashi says, shu mav'e dovor achir. Niv'e indicates something itself became exposed. Mav'e of the Mishnah, in that grammatical form, indicates causing something else to become revealed. So, causing something else to become revealed, that is not, has no relevance to tooth. Shmuel was trying to say that mav'e was a reference to teeth, and that teeth themselves are at times exposed. Well, if that were the case, then the more appropriate term for the Mishnah would have been niv'e. It became exposed. The teeth became exposed. But once again, the Mishnah didn't say that. It said mave. Ushmuel, my time alomar karav. Shmuel, why doesn't he go along with Rav's approach that mave is Odom? And Rav had cited the pasuk above in Tibayin Bayu. Omaloch. So Shmuel will tell you, Mikotoni bo'eh. Does the Mishnah use the word bo'eh, patterning itself after the pasuk ba'ayu in that verb form? It doesn't say bo'e, it says mav'e. Hence, Shmuel doesn't go along with Rav. Well, Michti, let's look into this matter. Kroi lo kemor daiki velo kemor daiki. The psukim themselves are not precise sources for either Rav or Shmuel. Rav my time alomar k'Shmuel. Being that the psukim are not going to be the deciding factor, we're going back and asking, well, Rav, who said Mave is Odom and not Shane, why doesn't he go along with Shmuel that says it's Shane? The Gemara answers, Tana, as far as Rav is concerned, the Tana spoke about Shor. The Mishnah opened up with Arba Ovas Nezikin. Hashor was the first one. Well, that is a word that's inclusive of Chol Mili Deshor. That includes all aspects of Shor, of the ox, the goring ox. And included in those aspects are Shane. Shane is included already in the Mishnah. So why would the Mishnah repeat Shane? As it goes on to say, it says, Habor v'hamave. Hamave has got to be something different, not that which is already included in Shor. At this point, you notice we have a bracketed section, and this is a very long bracketed section. The reason for these brackets is to give you an immediate sense of logical flow, a immediate sense of continuity in the discussion. Whereas we just asked Rav, why does he not say like Shmuel? Skip the brackets, and you'll find yourself more than halfway down on Dalet Amud Aleph. And what do you see immediately? Shmuel, my time, Aloma Karav. The opposite. In other words, we first asked, why does Rav not say like Shmuel? Then, why does Shmuel not say like Rav? That's the bracket use then is to give you that sense of continuity in the flow of the discussion. We have a starred note on the side, and it reads as follows. Matrasa Sograim, the purpose of these brackets, Kidei Lahokel, it's to make the following of the flow of the Gemara, the dusiach is the give and take of the Gemara, easier to follow. Why does each one not say like the other? And we didn't mention why does then Shmuel not say like Rav. That we'll just leave for later on. Besoch hasogayim, haGemara masbira ech lulnoid es haMishnah kafi gishosis shemuel demave haynu shein. Within the brackets, the Gemara rereads the Mishnah. I say rereads means it goes over the Mishnah, filling in a lot of what appears as missing information when you learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah was very terse. In our previous shiur, we emphasized this aspect of the Mishnah, the terseness of the Mishnah, waiting for the Gemara to fill in the blanks. So, within the brackets, the Gemara goes through a very methodical presentation of the Mishnah with the filled-in information. If that sounds a bit abstract, that's quite understandable. One has to get into the Gemara itself and appreciate the text before, and then you'll understand what we're referring to. The Gemara. Now we're going to go through the bracketed section. And I know that we're learning in a Daf Yomi format, but as often is the case, we're going to have to spill over, going down a good way down Daf Dalid, in light of the fact that we're in the middle of this discussion. So, the Gemara. We're going to continue now with the brackets. We just mentioned why Rav did not say like Shmuel, and the answer to that was, well, the word Shor already includes all aspects of Shor, so Mave would be a redundancy if it's going to be Shane. So the Gemara now poses this issue to Shmuel. We're continuing the brackets now. Four lines from the bottom. Shmuel nami hotono le Shor. Well, according to Shmuel, is it not a fact that the Mishnah already taught Shor? What does he do with that in light of his explanation of Mavez being Shane? Omar Rav Yehuda, Tono Shor, Lekarno. Rav Yehuda explains Shmuel by saying that the Tana, when it said Shor, Shor is not inclusive of all aspects of Shor, like Rav took it, but rather Shor is limited. Shor Likarno is a reference to the damages that an ox does through goring. Umave Lishino. And Mave is a reference to animal damages through eating, so there isn't any redundancy. On the side, before we go into the Gemara itself, which is a rather involved discussion, let's account for our markings. The Nosei / Mivneh heading features the volcano shape, one of which we already saw. These are Gishois, approaches Lahavines HaMishneh Lefi Shmuel. How to understand the Mishnah according to Shmuel. Shor Eino Kolel Hakol. The word Shor does not include everything. It's just Karen. Mave is Shane. So the volcano shape highlights, once again, approaches to understanding the Mishnah in accordance with Shmuel. Shmuel defined Mave as Shane. The first approach is Rav Yehuda. Later, on Daf Dalet, you'll see our number 2. Just skim down until you get to number 2. There, Rava appears. And at that point, Rava says, Elama Rava, Tana Shor Leraglo Mavalishino. His approach to Shor is Raglo. Shor is not Karen, as Rav Yehuda presented it, but is Regel. That's okay, as far as Mave is concerned. Still, Mave is Shino. There's no redundancy in the Mishnah. And at that point, the Gemara will have to read the Mishnah, filling in the blanks, in accordance with Rava's explanation. Once again, Rav Yehuda and Rava are working within Shmuel. Shmuel insists on saying that Mave is Shane. So there's no argument between Rav Yehuda and Rava regarding what Mave means according to Shmuel. Shmuel said it means Shane. The difference between Rav Yehuda and Rava will be, how would Shmuel account for Shor? What does he do with that? Again, there's agreement between Rav Yehuda and Rava that as far as Shmuel is concerned, Shor is not inclusive. It's not an umbrella expression, but rather is a reference to a specific aspect of Shor. Both Rav Yehuda and Rava will have to present the reading of the Mishnah accordingly. We now encounter a new marking, the house shape. And on the side of our Gemara, we indicate that this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. So with the house point facing up, that is a response. And the inverted house, when it appears, will be a kushya, a question. A double underline will be used to highlight the expression that we saw already in the Mishnah that will be presented here more elaborately, lo roi, meaning that the aspects of one are not like the aspects of the other. The characteristics of one form of damage are not like the characteristics of the other form of damage. Once again, this becomes much clearer as we go into the Gemara itself. But it's important to realize what the Gemara is about to do before we get into it. And that is, Rav Yehuda will reread the Mishnah in accordance with the definitions we've given so far, that Shor is Keren and Mave is Shein. V'hochi ka'omar. Continuing in the text, Lo roi ha-keren she'ein hanol ezeko kiroya she'ein she'esh hanol ezeko. Karen is not like Shane, in that Karen, there is no pleasure the animal has when damaging. And hence, if the Torah had written just Karen, I would not have been able to figure out Shane, being that they have these opposing characteristics. So that Karen does not have pleasure when damaging, whereas Shane does have pleasure. It's damaged through eating. The animal has pleasure from the food that it's consuming. We continue at the top of Omid Bey, at the top of Daf Dalet Omid Aleph. Velo Roy Hashem, Shein Kavanosala Hazik, Kiroy HaKaren Shekavanosala Hazik. And Shein is not like Karen in that Shein, the animal is not working, is not damaging with intent to damage. It's simply hungry. Its intent is to satisfy its hunger. That's Ein Kavanosala Hazik. So had the Torah written the obligation to compensate for Shein, I wouldn't have known Karen insofar as Karen is different. That Karen Kavanoso Lahazik, it has intention to damage. This gives rise to a very serious question. Is this the way the Mishnah is to be read? If this is the intent of the Mishnah, then it's going to backfire, because the lav kal vachomer hu. If this is the presentation of the Mishnah, then it would actually work out to the opposite through kal vachomer logic. Uma shein she'ein kavanosu lahazik chayav. You just describe Shein as being something that the Torah obligates one to compensate for, and its characteristic is that it doesn't have intent to damage. So mind you, something that doesn't have intent to damage, and yet you have to compensate for the resultant damage. Karen shekavanosei la'azik lo gol shekein. Damage resulting from goring. Goring is a situation where the animal is overcome with a we'll call it an evil inclination, a yetzahara. The animal is overcome with this drive to damage. It's not getting any pleasure. It's simply driven to damage. All the more so, you should be obligated to compensate. If that's the case, so then it would have been sufficient for the Torah to write Shein, to indicate that an animal that damages through Shein, the owner is obligated to compensate, and obviously you would have to compensate for the Karen damage. The Gemara, and if that be the case, and I have to emphasize the main point, if that be the case, it would have been enough for the Torah to write just Shein. And yet the Torah writes about Karen as well. The Gemara says, in all due respect to the kal vachomer logic that you just presented, I will respond to that and say, I'll tell you it's derech. I have to write Karen anyway. Why? Sanka Daita Chamina, without the Torah specifying Karen and the obligation to compensate for it, I would have paralleled the situation of Karen with its kavonosu lahazik midi davi, ha'eved ve'amo, similar to the way the law, the halacha, deals with one slave or bondmate that causes damage. Eved ve'amo, a person owns, let us say, a slave or a bondmaid, a heathen bondmaid. Lav afal gav, is it not so? The kavanosu lahazik, if they damage, they are damaging their people. They're damaging, they may very well damage with intent. Afilu hachi ptiri, even so, the owner of these people, these slaves, is exempt. Hachi nami lo shna. I would have thought, by the case of Karen, no difference, meaning there too, no obligation to pay. Therefore, even though we seem to suggest the lack of necessity for Karen because of a kal vachomer, the Torah has to write that you are obligated to pay, because otherwise I would have paralleled Karen to the law of Eved and Amo. The Gemara responds to this and says, notice we have the inverted house marking, which connects you back to the second line from the top, and we're reinstating our position that Karen really is superfluous. A moment ago, we said that, well, Karen needs to be written because I would have thought to parallel it to Eved V'Amor. That's not true. Amar Ravashi. Otu Eved V'Amor Lav Taimo Rabba Isbehu. Is it not so that Eved and Amor have a great reason, meaning a specific, unique reason why there and only there would we exempt the owner? Shemo yak nitenu rabu v'yech v'yad l'gedisha shechavero. What we're afraid of in the case of Eved and Amor, these are people, they're owned by a master. They might have become infuriated by the master. The master infuriated them. And as an act of revenge, they went and burned down someone's pile of grain. And if an Eved and Amor would be the reason for the master to pay for damages they caused, you'll have a case of an Eved and Amor obligating a master to pay mea mona. It's an expression meaning a lot of money, literally 100 mona, thousands of dollars every day for damages that they cause. So the halacha anticipated this and said that Eved and Amor, if they cause damage, they're not going to be hurting their master. We're going to exempt the master from damage they cause. So the Eved and Amor exemption, even though they damage with Kavona, their exemption is unique to them. It's not something I would have thought to apply to the case of Karen. If that be the case, then how are we to understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah, the way Rav Yehuda presented its reading, leaves us with the redundancy on the part of the Torah in writing both Shane and Karen. It would have been sufficient to write just Shane, and Karen I would have been able to figure out on my own. So the Gemara says, Ela porachachi. Rather, read the Mishnah as follows. Lo roi ha-keren, shekavonoso lahazik, roi ha-shein, shein kavonoso lahazik. Keren, that the Torah writes about, creates obligation because it damages with intent to cause damage. The animal is overcome with a drive to damage. And in that sense, Karen is not like Shane. Shane, there is no element of intent on the part of the animal. And therefore, had the Torah written obligation of Karen related damage, I wouldn't have known Shane. For lo roi ha-shein, sheish hanol hezeko. And had the Torah written the obligation to compensate for Shane, I wouldn't have known Karen. Shane, yesh hanol hezeko, there is pleasure derived from the damage caused by Shane. Kiroya Karen Shane Ano Halazeko. In Karen, the animal does damage, but it has no bodily pleasure from it. Therefore, had the Torah written just Shane, I wouldn't have been able to derive Karen. That's good enough reason then to write both Karen and Shane. This approach, as we've mentioned till now, has Shor of the Mishnah referring just to Karen. Veregel Mai, what about Regel? According to Shmuel's approach, where is there any mention of Regel in the Mishnah? Shaire, what, it's left out? Regel is a primary form of damage, and why would the Mishnah leave it out? The Gemara says the Mishnah doesn't leave it out. When the Mishnah says, Kishihizik chav hamazik, that expression, la'asuye regel, that phrase of the Mishnah is there to include regel. The Gemara asks, "Velusne behedya, why simply allude to regel through a we'll call it hidden phrase? Why not state regel explicitly as one of the avos nezikin?" Eloma Ravosh Tona Shor Laraglo Mavalishino. In fact, Shor of the Mishnah is a reference to Regel. Mave? Of course. We're within Shmuel, aren't we? So that's Shane Lashino. And I'm sure everyone is jumping out of their seats saying, well, okay, what have you accomplished with that answer? What about Karen? And the Gemara will ask that very shortly. But in the meantime, according to Rava, that Shor is Regel, and Mave is Shane. How do you read the Mishnah? Once again, the Mishnah phrases of Lo Roizeh, Keroizeh, Velo Roizeh, Keroizeh, how do we fill in the missing information to make sense of the Mishnah, and hence understand why the Torah had to write both? So we continue. V'hachi komar. With Rava's approach in mind, lo roi ha-regel shezeka motzui, ki roi ha-shen shen ezeka motzui. Had the Torah written just regel, of course, there you're obligated to compensate. It's a common form of damage, and we say an owner should have been on his toes protecting against that. Not so in the case of Shane. Shane is not common. It's Ein Hezeka Motsui. It's not an ongoing regular occurrence. And therefore, if damage would happen through Shane, maybe the owner would be exempt. And that's why the Torah, in addition to Regel, has to write about Shane. The Lo Roy HaShane Yesh Hanol Hezeko. Shane is not like Regel in that Shane, there is pleasure derived when the animal damages, while the animal eats someone else's crops. So Shane is not like Keroi HaRegel, it's not like Regel. Shane Hano Lezeko. The animal has no bodily pleasure when it damages through Regel, simply tramples over items and destroys them. So had the Torah written just Shane, all right, there the owner is obligated because its animal is benefiting. Maybe not so in the case of Regel, hence it was necessary to write both Shane and Regel. The Karen Mai, what about Karen Shirei? Was it left out? So we say no. Kishihizi Chavamazik Lasuye Karen. The expression in the Mishnah, the extra expression of Kishizi Chavamazik, which when damage happens to the owner has to compensate, that phrase is there to include Karen. Question, Velusne Behedyo, so why not spell out in an explicit form Karen? Why did the Mishnah just feature Regel and Shane, according to Rava? The Gemara answers, "Bemu'odin mitchiloson kamayri." The Mishnah's agenda was to teach those forms of damage that are mu'odin. Mu'odin, for our purposes, not only means likely and prone to damage, but it also means you'll have to pay full damages at the very first occasion of damage. So the Mishnah was interested in featuring Mu'adim et Chilasan, Betamin u'besof Mu'adim lo komairi. The Mishnah was not intending to discuss initially those kinds of payments that are tam. Tam, half payment would be made. That which is the case in Goring, where the damage is like Karen, it's unusual, which doesn't carry with it a full payment scale until after three times. So, tamen ulebesof modem, animals that the payment scale starts out as tamen, only later becomes muad, where you have to pay full damages. That lo komairi, that was not the interest of the Mishnah to talk about that. An interesting detail that you find in the Tosis. Tosis here says, a short Tosis says, Kishizik Hava Mazik. That phrase, Lo Hainu Kishizik Kamo, it's not a reference to the first time that that phrase appears in the Mishnayos. Elomi Idoch Kishizik Marve Lo. It's derived from the other Kishihizik Chavamazik expression. Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyan Hashas says, he points out, that's a reference to the Mishnah on Daf Tes Omid Beis, where you see that expression again, Kishihizik Chavamazik. So that with that explanation, this the last answer, the last point mentioned in the Gemara makes a lot more sense. We asked, why doesn't our Mishnah speak about Karen in... Why doesn't it speak about Karen? So the Gemara answered, it does speak about Karen when it uses the phrase Kishizik Chava Mazik. So if that's the case, why did it speak about... Why did it mention it in such a hinting fashion, a non-explicit fashion? So the Gemara answered, well, our Mishnah is interested in speaking about Mu'adim Mitchilasan. If you look at things that way, then you're saying our Mishnah. Well, our Mishnah here on Daf Beis did have the phrase Keshizik Hava Mazik. So why do you say that our Mishnah is not talking about Tamen Ubesof Mu'adim? So with the Tosfos and Rabbi Akiva Eger, you understand, in fact, our Mishnah makes no reference to Karen. And the phrase, Kishizik Hava Mazik, that the Gemara refers to, is the phrase found on Daf Tes Amud Beis. That's already, we'll say, later, much later. So hence, our Mishnah is in fact dealing only with Mu'adin Mitchilasan, to the exclusion of Karen, which is not dealt with in our Mishnah. Karen as a Mazik is alluded to, yes, in the later Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis. As we mentioned earlier, we've spilled over our Daf Yomi quota, if you will, but we're really in the middle of a discussion. Hopefully, when we pick up the next shiur, you will be aware of this phenomenon, that we're in the middle of a discussion, and we'll be able to pick up from this point where the Gemara is going to focus now on why did Shmuel not say like Rav. Shmuel says that Mava is Shane. Why does he not say it's a reference to Odom Hamazik? Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.